Welcome to episode 21 of Pod Your Own Adventure. Today's episode, the thrilling conclusion of Knight of the Necromancer by Jonathan Green. Welcome back to Pod Your Own Adventure. My name's Tom, and I'm joined again by my guest, Amy Jarbeau. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Right. No interesting facts this time because we've got a job to finish here.
Indeed.
Last week, we started this book, Knight of the Necromancer. Had a good time with it. Then realised that it was more of an epic adventure than we first realised, and we're having to do the thrilling conclusion of it now. So.
Time flies when you're learning how to be a ghost.
Exactly, yes. We learnt a lot about being a ghost. Yeah. Most of which I've forgotten, but I think I've got the basic values for where we left off our skill and stamina at least. I'm pretty sure they're all pretty good, at least. I'm not just saying that's a cheat. I think we had a skill 10, stamina was 18, luck was 9, and will was 10, I think.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure will was 10. That's kind of the one I was focusing on. So.
Yeah, but all the other ghost stuff as well, like, can we walk through walls? Can we rattle chains and spook people?
We can fly!
Yeah, like, that's
all
stuff.
We did learn how to fly.
Yeah, that's stuff that may be inconsistent, and I may be making it up as we go along, but basically, if it's funny, it's going to be in here, so. Right. A quick recap for anybody that hasn't listened to the podcast before. Firstly, go back and listen to the first part of this two-parter, because this won't make any sense.
So we need like, a little, you know, previously on Pod Your Own Adventure.
Now, at last, your home is in sight once more.
Well, you know they're serious when they name the Mage of Death after death itself.
He looks like he's seen a ghost. Oh.
I think I know what's happening.
This book is anti-witch propaganda. I'm onto you, Jonathan Green.
There's a lot of options here that don't involve sewage.
And then you come before the gates, the main gate of Valsinor Castle.
Alright, that was the previously on Pod Your Own Adventure. If this is your first time listening to the show, then what I'll do is I get a old game book, multiple path adventure story thing. I read through it, and then my guest here will help me with the choices and also with doing the jokes along the way as well.
Hello.
Hello, Amy. Right. So, yeah, just to recap for me and you. So last time we were a man, then we were stabbed to death.
Yes.
No, we weren't stabbed to death. We were shot with magic.
Well, there was stabbing in there somewhere.
Yes.
I think maybe it was the threat of stabbing.
I think we were doing lots of the stabbing ourselves as well, because we're a good knight who's good at the sword fighting.
So
we were killed. We then went to go visit a wise woman out in the woods.
Well, we tried to, but first we got sucked into the, like, Seven Sisters Ring of Dolmen.
Oh, yeah. There was the standing stones.
We were empowered. Yeah, we were empowered. We were not empowered. We were empowered. Baron Blood was empowered.
Yeah. The Standing Stones, that was fun. We met the Baron Blood. Had a little race. Beat a dog in a foot race, that was good.
Yes, yeah.
We went to the wise woman's house out in the woods. We were like, what's going on here? Her familiar...
They were the demon monkey.
Went all crazy and killed her to death, which was sad.
Yes, yeah, very sad.
Then we killed it, because that's what heroes do. Then we went back to our big tower castle thing off in the distance. And came home, and I think we went into the church. We saw the ghost of our dead dad.
Yeah, I think we were slightly railroaded into that.
We saw the ghost of our dead dad. He was all like, ooh, being a ghost is horrible.
Had a very Hamlet moment.
You're telling me, ghost of my dead dad. Then we went to the church, saw our alive sister talking to a dude who was afraid of ghosts. And then... we went down into the catacombs, and that pretty much brings us up to speed, doesn't it?
Yeah. I do remember we got zapped on the way into the church, so we learned a valuable lesson that only the threshold is the issue.
Yeah. Like, once you pass
But, like, once you're fine. In, you're good.
I'm trying to
trial by lightning.
I'm trying to think of, like, what else that could apply to in real life, but, like, is there anything where it's just passing through the threshold of it is going to be a problem?
Getting into a fraternity?
I guess.
I don't know.
I was going to talk about, like, maybe preparing fish or meat that's got a hide on it or something. So you have to cut through that, and then after that it's plain sailing.
I don't know. I don't have a lot of experience with that.
Yeah, I may just be, like, thinking of stuff I've seen whilst playing Monster Hunter, so. Anyway, let's carry on our cool adventure. Right, so, you find yourself in the dripping castle catacombs. It was within these dank tunnels that Castle Valtanor's first founders were laid to rest when it was their time to go into the ground. The otherworldly glow emanating from your own ethereal presence, illuminating the way onward, you come at last to a crossroads. I didn't realise that we were a phosphorescent ghost as well. But...
That's okay. I was waiting for you to say that ethereal, you know, was like a new trait that we had where we can now light dark pathways. You know, like in Lego, is it Lego Lord of the Rings where Frodo can light up dark places?
Oh, with Sting, yeah.
Yes.
I suppose
yeah,
so. I just thought maybe like we, inside our ghostly shell is like the stuff you get inside glow sticks. And so if...
So basically we're Slimer.
Maybe. I was just going to say, okay. Like, if it's a bit too dark, then you just, like, shake us up a bit, and then all the chemicals start to go together, and then you can see what's going on in front of us. I'm not sure what kind of ghost we are. It's just a really gross one, I guess. All right. You can see that the passageway in front of you, and the one to your left, both end at solid-looking doors. The tunnel to your right leads further into the dark, and with no sign of stopping. Which way do you want to go on? Do you want to go straight? Oh, sorry.
I was about to say, we really suck at being a ghost. Like, we keep feeling cold and damp and needing light and going, oh, that door is so solid looking.
Yeah.
Oh, if only I could fly.
if only I could do stuff that ghosts could do. But we're quite new at it as well. Like, we've only
been
a ghost
for
such
hours. A superstitious lot that everybody we've come across has been, they have absolutely no knowledge about how any of this works.
Yeah, that is also true.
Okay, well, so I say if we weren't supposed to have necessarily the go through solid doors thing, we would have ended up down the long hallway anyways. So let's go that way.
So going down the tunnel into the dark with no signs of stopping, is that?
Yes.
All right, so we are following
light
the
at the end somewhere.
On the right. Well, it's not going to go on forever, is it? Is it?
Is it?
Ooh. You wander aimlessly along the mouldering tunnels, further and further under the foundations of Valtanor Castle, with really no idea where you are going. So we roll a die, and there's a 50-50 chance of something happening.
Okay. We're cleaners!
We rolled a 2, so I'm not sure what that means.
Oh, I don't know. I don't have the charts.
Yeah. The catacombs echo to the constant drip, drip, drip of water. You're just thinking that you must be alone down here when a figure appears to congeal from the shadows ahead of you. The figure is wearing a hooded cloak. Without any warning, it suddenly spins round, knotted talon-like hands raised ready to strike, and you see that beneath its hood there is nothing but darkness, a darkness that not even your ghostly luminescence can penetrate. They've got us sussed out, haven't they? The dark oblivion of the void. You are shocked to the core, and we lose one will point.
Oh!
That's rough.
I make bad decisions.
I think everybody makes bad decisions on this podcast.
Maybe everybody just makes bad decisions, period. It's how we handle it that really defines us.
That's inspiring. I handle it by killing things with swords.
Oh, okay. as long as you have a plan.
You are shocked to the core, and then find yourself fighting for your continued survival upon the earthly plane as a mind-numbing horror that is the Nightshade attacks. Alright, so...
Okay.
So let's hit this thing. It's got a skill of 10. We've got a skill of 10, so we're pretty evenly matched.
It's going to, like, take our sword away if we hit it. It gets sucked into the void.
Well.
Oh.
It just rolled a 4 trying to hit us. I need to beat that.
Okay.
And we rolled 8.
Okay.
I probably should just explain how the combat works again, by the way. We've got a skill, it's value. Currently it's 10, but it can go up or down depending on what happens. Any enemy that we find has got a different skill value. They roll 2 dice, we roll 2 dice. We compare, we add their skill to their dice roll, we add our skill to our dice roll. If we beat theirs, then we kill them instantly, because otherwise, just socking through the entire thing is going to take a while and probably won't be too fun to listen to me rolling dice for 15 minutes. Anyway, it's dead.
Awesome! Wait, it was dead, though.
It's dead again.
It's deader.
Yes, deadest.
It's so dead, it came back from the void, took corporeal form, wow, I said that wrong, took corporeal form so that we could slice it up and dice it up, and now it's dead.
And now it's properly dead, and not going to get back up.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. That was an interesting fight, because if you're doing it with the normal rules, then if it ever hits us, then it gets to increase its health by a point as well, so that could be a pretty long fight, but we just killed it straight out, because cannot be dealing with that.
Yep.
Anyway.
Well, it's the advanced boss strategy. When I was new to MMORPGs, someone was really kind to explain this to me, that the point of any boss fight is you have to hurt him more than he has health, more than he hurts you, more than you have health.
Yeah, that's basically every raid boss, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. Having wandered these tunnels of the dead for what feels like far too long, you eventually find yourself back where you started. So where will you go now? Along the tunnel ahead of you, along the tunnel to the left, or out of the courtyard, the catacombs are back into the inner ward courtyard.
And we're allowed to leave? I thought we were looking for something.
Weren't we looking for something? We were looking for a cool sword, I think.
Oh, right! Okay, well, you want to roll a die and let's, you know, try one of the doors?
We don't need to roll a die for this. Should we just go straight ahead?
Sure.
Why not? Why not? The door is made of some black wood ensorcelled with silver that forms unsettling signs and symbols. Mm. As you approach, you can feel its power like a crackling magic shield. The energy.
Well, at least it's not blood.
No. I mean, even though we're a spooky ghost who's quite familiar to death, still freaked out by the sight of blood.
Mm-hmm.
Weird. It's weird how that works.
Yeah.
The energy field sparks violently, and you're suddenly hurled backwards by a powerful burst of magic energy. Lose 2 stamina points. Oh.
Ooh.
Sorry. The door is resisting your ethereal essence somehow, and keeping your ghostly form at bay. You cannot even get close enough to touch it. The door before you is a spirit door, a portal intended to prevent undead spirits like you from passing through it. There's nothing you can do to conquer the spells bound into it, at least not yet, so you have no choice but to search elsewhere. So we add a code word to our adventurer's sheet, in this case it's catacombs.
Isn't this the first one we got, the first code word?
Well, we had a few earlier as well, but there were things like Spectre or...
I remember it checking to see if we had some. Like, do you know the word sister? I have some knowledge of this, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, good. All right.
One place left to go.
Yeah. Back where you began, choosing somewhere that you haven't been already. We follow the passageway to your left, the one in front, or to the one to your right. It's the one to our left, isn't it?
It's whatever one we did not do before, the other door.
I'm pretty sure it's the one to our left, I hope.
Yeah.
The door at the end of the passageway is an ornate affair, decorated with a complex pattern marked out in bands of gold. On it is inscribed the following verse. A wizard of great power and might lies sleeping through eternal night. If you would with him consult, and seek to enter this stone vault.
See, wizard, why did we not get the choice of, like, old, wise wizard?
Yeah, you mean like
our education was lacking.
Do you mean guys we can play as in this, or guys that we can meet up with?
Well, it said consult with him.
I suppose you haven't met him yet, but I think we're going to. And then who knows what might happen?
Who knows?
Yeah. If you wouldst the wizard see, answer then this riddle me re. You can waste it, make it, kill it, take it, but like the tide, no king can break it. That was a bit
What was that again? One of those time riddles.
You can waste it, make it, kill it, take it, but like the tide, no king can break it.
That sounds really like time. You can make time for something, you can waste time, you can kill time, you can take time to do something.
Yeah. You can waste it, make it, kill it, take it. It feels so sweet and knocks you off your feet. You want it all, but you can't. Okay.
What?
I'm singing the lyrics of Faith to Epic, My Faith No More.
Oh, I'll nod and pretend I know that.
Right, so this is a fun riddle. What we do is we take all the letters and then take them into the numerical value of that letter in the alphabet. So A is 1, B is 2, C is 3, etc. So let's do that quickly for time. I'm going to make a cut right here. Wow, I'm so clever. Time, you state in as clear a voice as you can manage. There is an audible click, the magically locked door swings open, and you enter the lavish tomb of Aramanthus the White, who was court wizard during your father's time. A likeness of the dead wizard lies upon the lid of the black granite sarcophagus that dominates his burial chamber, while various items of magic paraphernalia fill the vault around it. As you're taking in all of the crystal walls, glass alembics, and a veritable library's worth of books and scrolls, the ghost of Aramanthus materializes before you. Ah! The ghost exclaims, a broad smile breaking his wizened features. Company at last! Albeit if of the recently deceased variety, but company nonetheless! The wizard goes on.
Somebody's glad to see us.
Yeah, makes a change with everybody else being goddamn spooked out of their minds on what we see us. Or wanting to kill us, of course.
Yes.
After all, homunculi are not known for their conversational skills. No offence intended, Fizzgig. At this last comment, a grotesque, bulbous-bellied, winged imp tumbles out from beneath a collection of glass instruments, sending a number of them crashing to the stone-flagged floor. The creature half falls and half flies from its perch, executing an unintentional somersault in mid-air before alighting on top of the wizard's tomb, and then, scowling at the ghost, embarks upon a furious bout of squeaking. The spectral wizard raises a despairing eyebrow, as much as to say, "See what I mean?" Like, I'm also assuming he's... It wasn't written, but I'm reading between the lines and saying that he's also shrugging his shoulders, rolling his eyes... looking directly into the camera and winking at the audience. But I sincerely doubt you came all this way from the other side to discuss the various merits or other ways of artificially created life forms, did you? So why didn't you enlighten me as the reason to your presence here?
Well, that's the thing. We never got to the other side.
No, that's right. We died, and then we didn't even get to pass on. We're just, like, hanging out, being miserable.
Yep.
Thanks.
We found that, you know, hell on Earth was even a lie there. It's like purgatory on Earth.
Yeah. What was the dude that shot us with the thing at the start? What was his name?
The Death Acolyte?
Acolyte, yeah.
Yes,
he just ruined everything. Thanks.
I know.
That's a lot. Just
life ruiner.
Sensing that the wizard is a goodly soul who genuinely wants to help, you tell Aramanthus everything that has befallen you since the daylight died, and you with it, but fearing that the longer you linger here, the sooner you might be discovered by those that mean you harm.
Do we cry ectoplasm tears?
That seems like it'd be hard to clear up, and kind of gross, but yes, bet we do. Will we ask about the ghosts of Valsinor Castle, about the evil that has taken root within its walls, or how to make the most of your ghostly abilities?
Yes.
Yes, we shall. It's got to be the last one, hasn't it? Yeah. Hasn't it?
Well, I was going to say all three.
Well.
Do we have to pick just one? I've got a lot of questions, and this is the only dude that's had answers.
That's true, but it says that, like, the longer we linger here, we might be discovered. But also, which do you want to ask first?
Well, we've done fine with our abilities. I want to know why there's... Okay, so what's with all the ghosts?
What's with all the freaking ghosts?
All the freaking ghosts.
The dead of this place have been bound to its chambers, its turrets, its very stones by a greater power, and cannot leave, Aramanthus explains. Many are in perpetual torment. They can only be freed if the necromancer who has bound them here is vanquished and his power broken. Who is this necromancer, you ask? Certain the answer to that question. Yeah. Yeah, why wasn't that an option? Who is this necromancer, you ask? Certain that the answer to that question will be the same as the one you've been seeking since you were cut down on the Moot Road. Let's see what he says. Oh, okay. A banshee wail cuts through the stillness of the tomb. Your presence here has been discovered. No. I'm going to cheat. All right. Are you okay with me cheating? I want to read the other questions.
Yeah,
and see what
I want to know. I want to know what's going on.
Yeah. So let's ask him about the evil that's taken root within the walls here. I've tried scrying to find its source, but I cannot see beyond the walls of the keep. That place is closed to me now. What I do know is that this evil is deeply rooted within the castle, and it will take a great deal to free Valsinor from its grip. Then we have the encounter with the banshee again. So let's see what happens to make the most of our ghostly abilities.
Sure. In for a penny, in for a pound. I think I already said that last recording.
Yeah. It is a wise warrior who fights using knowledge as much as the sword's sharp edge, Aramanthus says, and then goes on to school you in the art of using your ethereal powers more effectively. So you get to add 2 to our will.
Cool.
That's all right. So we've got a will of 11.
So the banshee gives us more time for this one.
Apparently so. Like, the first two were just, like, a conversation. This one's, like, an entire training montage. So you get 2 will, 1 luck point, and then we roll a die.
Can we, like, play Eye of the Tiger in the background of this or something?
I may be able to do that. Hang on a second, let me just place my dice again. There we go. All right, let's see what happens. We rolled 5, so something good happens, I'd assume. Released from the shackles of a mortal body, you're no longer bound to the ground, but able to fly high above it.
We could already do that.
We already had that one, but considering that we're cheating, I'm not going to complain too much.
Yeah.
Okay. A banshee wail cuts through the stillness of the tomb. Your presence here has been discovered, the wizard's
Deja
ghost
vu.
Exclaims. Yeah, this is weird. His features knotted in consternation. You must go, but take Fizgig with you. He will be of more use than perhaps it first appears. Besides, Aramanthus adds with what would appear to be a ghostly tear in the corner of his eye, I'm not much company for him anymore. Aw, Aramanthus. Not questioning the wizard's decision for a second, you leave the vault, the bat-winged homunculus flapping after you, burbling to itself. So we add 2 code words, we add banshee and fizzgig to our adventure sheet, which is...
All right.
It's pretty good. Oh, shit.
I heard thump, 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 thump.
I pressed the wrong button. Fizzgig is actually a spell sprite, a creature imbued with great thaumaturgical potential. Yeah, it's alright.
You recognize that term, huh?
it's quite fun to say as well.
Yeah. That's why I love going off on the thaumaturgy versus theurgy, because it's also just so much fun.
But again, I think that's... there's so many conversations where I start on the show that I go, that's really fun, I like to talk for about hours, for half an hour about it, but I don't know whether it's appropriate for this podcast.
Yeah.
Anyway, this manifests itself in the form of four spells, which are listed below along with their effects. Banish Spirit, this spell will send one undead spirit back to the Netherworld. Mm-hmm. Luck, this will raise your spirit form's luck to its initial level. Skill, which raises our spirit form's skill to its initial level. And Strength, which raises our stamina. However, you may only call on Fizzgig's help 3 times. After that, the creature's reservoir of magical energy will be drained, and the sprite will disappear in a puff of logic.
No, not logic.
It genuinely says a puff of logic. Thank you. Thank you, good night. All right, so it's going to be Banished Spirit, isn't it? So that's the one we're going to be relying on,
I think. Definitely.
Okay. Back where you began, choosing somewhere you haven't been already. All right, so we can either adventure between the 3 different places we've been already, or you can leave. I think we should go.
I can leave.
Yeah. Back in the courtyard of the inner ward, remembering to choose somewhere that you haven't been already, where would you like to explore next? The kitchens, the feast hall, the chapel, the blasted tower, or the well? If you'd rather not delay here at all, you can approach the last gatehouse that guards the entrance to the Sea Moat Bridge, or if you have the spirit ability, you can take the air and try to approach the keep directly. But I remember last time we tried to do that, we had a bad time.
We got
time.
Pulled down.
Yeah, there were spooky ghosts up there.
Yeah, well, that's my first instinct, is just screw the gatehouse, let's go flying. But that didn't go so well. So let's go to the gatehouse and head in.
Straight up to the gatehouse by the bridge?
Like a normal human being.
Like, we walk up, like, fully see-through, go, hello, I'm a regular person, like such as yourself. I enjoy eating physical foods and having to breathe air.
My, isn't it cold today? Bit chilly, definitely.
I can tell because I have skin and flesh with which to feel this. As you approach the gatehouse that guards the entrance to the bridge spanning the castle's sea moat, by the wan light of the moon, you see that there are no guards present. The portcullis is raised and the way onward appears clear. We can approach the moat bridge on foot, or we can use the spirit ability and use that away as a way to approach the keep and avoid having to cross the bridge altogether. So we can take off on our own and literally take off, or we can make friends and go to the moat bridge.
Well, I thought it said that it was abandoned, there were no guards around. Wait, are we past it?
I think we're approaching it. We can probably go in and like fiddle with some controls or whatever and get it to come down. That's what... There's like a switch in there or something, probably. I don't know.
Okay. But whatever gets us through, I don't know. I'm a little leery of it going, it's completely abandoned, but you can go on foot, because that kind of feels like the time one of my DMs, I was like, I reach out and touch the orb, and he goes, with which hand?
Oh, no.
So I'm kind of feeling like we should probably use one of those spirit abilities and just, get our flying on.
Yeah, fly over this nuisance.
Yeah.
Alright, that's not a bad choice, actually. Okay. You soar over the gatehouse, over the sea moat, and approach the south face of the forbidding Black Keep. You hear the crack of shattering stone, followed by the beating of leathery wings. The gargoyles set to guard the keep from aerial assault launch themselves from their battlement roosts and dive towards you, cruel talons outstretched.
Hmm.
All right.
Why can't they ever be nice talons? Kind talons, protective talons.
Friendly talons.
Yes.
Unbelievably, your ethereal sword cannot penetrate the stony hides of these enchanted monsters.
Unbelievable.
Freaking... Okay. However, their diamond-hard talons will ravage your ghostly body, as well as they would flesh and blood.
That is so unfair.
Yes. All you can do is try to fend off their savage attacks as you try to land, and negate the enchantment that set them on you in the first place.
Okay. Back to the ground.
Alright, so we're going to have one round of combat with these guys.
It just said we can't hurt them, so we're going to have one round of runaway screaming with these guys.
One round of defending ourselves. So they rolled 5, they've got a skill of 9, so you've got to beat 14 with our skill of 10.
Okay.
And we rolled 10, so we got 20.
Yes!
So we are not dead.
Yay! Well, I mean, we're dead. Well, we're not really dead. We're not.
We're in a pretty good way for being dead.
Yes.
Okay. Alright, so we land. Hang on a second. Page 337. And so you make it across the moat to the imposing entrance of Valtanor Castle's keep that you once called home, and yet which now feels utterly alien and unwelcoming. There's not a single light visible in any window of the solid square stronghold. But the doors leading into the keep are not as you remember them. The meter-thick oak doors have been replaced with some sinister black wood, inlaid with silver that forms unsettling runes. This is familiar.
Yeah!
Unsettling runes and esoteric symbols. As you approach, you feel your progress being limited by a potent magical field. The energy shield sparks violently, and you're suddenly held backwards by a powerful burst of magical energy. I feel like we wouldn't have done that, because we'd already seen that, we knew it would have happened, and we didn't want
to... Yeah, I know, right?
...get knocked on our ass and eat shit, but...
No.
Apparently that's what's going to happen to us, because it's funny.
Wah, wah.
The door is resisting your ethereal essence somehow, and keeping your ghostly form at bay. You cannot even get close enough to touch it. The barrier before you is a spirit door, a portal intended to prevent unknown spirits like you from passing through it. There is nothing you can do to counteract the spells bound into it. The only things capable of passing through a spirit door are things with a physical form. But now you're a ghost. How can you possibly acquire a physical form?
Oh no.
Right, so...
this is going to be dirty, isn't it?
I hope not.
Well, not like that. I mean, like, crawling into a dead body kind of soul reaver sort of...
Oh, okay, I thought...
I meant, like, honestly dirty. Not, like, innuendo dirty. Like,
well, I thought innuendo dirty at first, because I'm terrible. But then after that, I thought
you're a horrible person.
Yes. After that, I thought you meant Shawshank dirty. Like, crawling through a tunnel for a mile and a half.
Rotting flesh is... you know,
it's pretty gross.
Kind of up there.
Yeah. All right, so I can't remember if we had any of these abilities. Did we have Spook? Did we have Rest in Peace? Or did we have Automaton? I think we remember we had Rest in Peace, didn't we?
Did we?
Because that was when we went to the church and we saw our own dead body and we were all like, whoa, this is spooky.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that's good because I don't think we have Automaton or Spook. So let's turn to page 369.
Okay.
Leaving the keep again, you make your way back into the inner ward and return to the chapel where your mortal body still lies in state. Staring down at your dead face, you focus your will like never before as you attempt to re-enter your own corpse and reanimate it again. Okay, so we need to roll two dice and add two to that. If it's less than or equal to our will score, something good will probably happen.
Ooh.
So we've got a will of
11.
It's pretty good odds. In fact, it's such good odds, we made it. We rolled 7. Add 2 to that is 9. So that's less than our will.
Nice!
So let's see what happens now.
Back in the flesh.
Back in business. Ghost business. Well, actually not even ghost business. Person business at this point, isn't it? So, anyway.
Well, I mean, technically ghost business is probably kind of person business.
I suppose. Ghosts are people too. Oh, that was insensitive of me. Closing your eyes, you descend upon your corpse. When you open them again, you are staring up at the vaulted ceiling of the chapel through your own dead eyes.
Ugh.
Oh, this is terrifying. This is a bad idea.
This is gross.
Rigor-locked joints crack into action again and you sit up. Oh, no.
So, I guess I'm, like, sound effects here. Oh, the one time my knuckles won't pop. Crap.
That's what it sounds like.
Go grab some celery and start snapping it.
Yeah. You slowly get to your feet and stumble from the chapel. Your steps unsteady at first, as if you're having to learn to walk again. So we also got added 1 point to our will and another one to our luck, which is nice.
Okay, yeah. Like, so definitely strengthen one's will.
Yes.
Hands down.
It's just, that entire thing is just quite gross.
Yeah, I've kind of got like, I feel like I need to go take a shower now.
Like, just this... this body
at least our sister
up,
right? Wasn't there still.
Yeah, I think we are just playing as a zombie at this point, which is all right. Okay.
So are we considered necromancers yet?
I think we might be.
I think at this point it's there's something.
If your corpse form should be killed, you may rise from it again in your spirit form and continue fighting with the stats that you have right here, which is nice.
Mm.
But your blessed...
so we've got body armor.
We've got
ick factor.
Incredible.
99.
Incredible. Your blessed blade knight slayer no longer lies with your body, and so you're forced to look elsewhere for a suitable weapon to serve you in battle. You find a sword with an abandoned guard post, which will suffice for the time being.
Which does beat most people in the situation who seem to only find a board with a nail in it.
Yes.
Or a crowbar.
Well, yeah, just like anything lying around that you can bash people with. I've seen enough zombie flick in my time to know what goes on here.
As the Klingons say, everything's a weapon if you want it to be.
I didn't know that's what the Klingons said, but you know what? I'm taking that to heart. Wasn't Land of the Dead the one where the zombies start using tools?
No idea. I usually avoid the whole zombie thing because ick factor.
I don't really blame you for wanting to avoid Land of the Dead as well, because it was far from George Romero's greatest works, and in fact I may say... among his worst, but also there's a zombie that learns how to use a pneumatic drill and uses it to open a door, essentially. Anyway,
okay.
Now that you have a physical body with which you can breach the spirit door, you can try to enter the keep again. But we also have the code word catacombs on our adventure sheet, so there may be somewhere else we want to visit first. Possibly?
Yeah, I guess we could.
Yeah, I think we should go there first. Because they mentioned something about a cool sword being... underneath the
We never got that sword thing.
Yeah.
I got so excited about the wizard.
Me too. Now that you have a physical form of sorts again, you are able to open the spirit door and step through it into the tunnels beyond.
Hooray!
These are the true catacombs. They are a veritable maze of mouldering passageways, forgotten burial chambers, and gloomy mausoleums.
But you and, with our newfound abilities, a ready source of armor.
Yeah. Oh. Also, I don't think we're a glowing ghost anymore, so this is going to be really hard to see.
Oh.
Anyway, you feel another power, unmistakably a force for good, with a capital G, leading you onwards through the labyrinthine passageways.
Hooray!
You come at last to a vast chamber, its roof supported by pillars of black marble. As you enter, iron basket braziers around the walls burst into flames, revealing the sepulchre in all its terrible splendour. In fact, it looks more like a throne room than a burial chamber. In the distance, you can make out tombs and stone sarcophagi, but in the middle of the chamber, in front of you, is a black marble throne.
Who knew that the catacombs in the keep would be, like, the most welcoming and friendly place in this entire book so far?
Yeah, like, seriously. It should, by all rights and regards, it should have been super spooky. But we've made
great friends.
We got
a sidekick.
Yeah. And then
we learned new powers.
And this now we're hanging out in, like, the nicest furnished place we've seen so far.
I know, right?
Anyway.
Okay.
Anyway. In the distance, you can make out tombs and stone sarcophagi, but in the middle of the chamber, in front of you, is a black marble throne. Seated upon the throne is a beautiful woman wearing luxurious robes, befitting a monarch, and a golden crown. Behind her throne, half hidden in the shadows cast by the guttering braziers, you can see a host of decomposing figures, watching with baleful, jaundiced yellow eyes from out of the darkness. The woman is toying with something in her hands. It is your own blessed blade, Night Slayer. You're about to take a step forward when common sense halts you. Ah, so you found us. Common sense halts you. I think that's the first time that's ever happened.
I was thinking that would have done really well on, like, page one.
Yes.
Took long enough for us to learn, but...
We did it.
237 pages in, common sense prevails.
Ah, so you found us, the woman says, as she examines the sword in her hands. The runes that spell out the name Night Slayer blaze red as they catch the light of a smouldering brazier. She suddenly looks up, and you're astonished by just how beautiful she is. Her eyes blaze with a dark intensity as she regards you with an unblinking stare. Be welcome here. You belong here, after all. A serpent smile twists her features into those of something not altogether human. With your queen. Now come, bow before me. No.
Well, I don't know. Is bowing going to get us the sword? Can we explain to her what's going on? Can we reason with her?
Well, you have a feeling that bowing before her is the last thing you should do. But judging by the zombie host gathered behind her, ready to do whatever she demands of them, it might be your best chance of snatching Light Snare from her grasp and getting out of here with your soul intact. Will you bow before this queen of the damned? Or will you renounce her claim of dominion over you? So you can bow or you can renounce.
So is this one of those things where if we renounce it, she might laugh and respect us for our, you know, autonomy and aid us in our quest? Or if we bow, is she going to be like, I've been waiting for you to be commander of this whole army of zombies I have, with which you can take back your keep?
Well, the first one has happened before, actually. I don't know about the second one. That seems like it'd be a bit too generous. But, you know what? This choice is yours at this point.
Oh, sorry. God. Oh. All right, let's bow.
Are we bowing?
Oh, no, wait, what was the first one I said? Renouncing?
Bow or renounce, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, okay, you said first one has happened before. Okay, let's go with renouncing then.
Okay, yeah, like we have in a
previous book. Can we cut out the part where I bowed?
No. I mean, in like a previous book, we have had it where if you bow, if you renounce somebody, they admire you for being a rude dude at them.
Yeah, that seems kind of cliche enough to possibly work.
Very well, the queen says, her sinister smile remaining in place, her eyes blazing with emerald witch lights. Then by hellfire, brimstone and pestilence, I decree that you shall die a second death here and now. But which shall it be? Choose the man of your undoing. How will you answer? So we get to choose.
Oh, cool.
All right, how are we going to get killed? By hellfire, by brimstone, by pestilence? Or, do your worst, I do not intend to die again.
Wait, aren't we in the human body too?
Yes.
So basically she can only kill the body, like, worst off.
Yeah, well, the ghost can die as well, and there are special rules for that. But I don't think she can actually, like, kill us outright and stop the book here. Or can she?
Oh, okay, what was it again? Hellfire, pestilence,
hellfire, brimstone, pestilence, or do your worst. Bang your chest and say, come at me.
Come at me, bro.
We're doing it. Doing it. Doing it. So be it, the Queen of Liches declares. Prepare to meet your doom. Yes.
Prepare to meet your doom.
I'm so glad we've had somebody in one of these books say that at last. All right, so we roll a die, and then she chooses for us, I guess, which is her doing her worst. We rolled a 4, which means we turn to page 262. That doesn't mean anything to you right now, but let's find out what it does. A horrendous stench presages the coming of the Queen's Champion, as a truly horrific abomination lumbers from amidst the ranks of the undead to fight you. Covered in unspeakable filth, its body decomposing and decrepit, and carrying with it the repulsive reek of the grave, the Stench Ghoul attacks.
Well, see, joke's on him, because we're already inhabiting our old corpse.
Yeah, we smell pretty funky ourselves.
Yeah. So the Battle of the Stenches, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think one of the choices we can get in this is actually possessing somebody, and then having them go down into the catacombs for us, and then that actually makes our attacking, like, our skill less likely to go through.
Mm.
But because...
We're here.
Because our nostrils
flesh.
Are starting to decompose... Let's just kill it.
Yeah. Let's do this.
All right, so the Stench Ghoul has a skill of 8. It just rolled 7, which means that is 15 to play with.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a skill of 10. And we rolled 7. So it's now a real stinky dead ghoul instead of just a regular stinky ghoul. Okay. If you vanquish the ghoul, it rapidly dissolves into a pool of putrescent slime on the stone-flagged floor before the Queen's throne.
Yummy.
Yeah. I think that's a neg. I hope she'll appreciate that. Or not, as the case may be. Enough of this, the Queen shouts in anger, fixing you with her baleful black gaze. Now bow before me. I demand it.
So we just won!
We just... What do you want from us? Okay, so she's demanding that we roll 2 die and compare that to our will. But we've got a will of 12, so I think we're actually indomitable at this point. And we rolled 8. So, yeah.
Awesome.
It looks like I'm going to have to deal with you myself, the Queen of Liches screeches. And then the spell is broken. She is suddenly exposed as the undead nightmare she really is.
No.
She is no flesh and blood beauty, but a hellish apparition.
You don't say.
Yeah, nobody can see this coming. A few grey threads of hair cling to a fleshless head in the advanced stages of decomposition. Her fine robes are really rotting grave clothes. Her crown, a crown of finger bones. Her own slender fingers, cruel talons. Come on. And her eyes nothing but pits of darkness. With a banshee scream, the Wraith Queen flies at you. Alright, so let's kill the Wraith Queen. She's got a skill
Yay!
Of 9.
And then we take her army and liberate the keep.
You know what? That might be on the cards. So she rolled 6. She's got a skill of 9. So that's 15 for us to beat. Which we... Oh, dropped that die on the floor. Shit. Either way, we did it. I rolled it again. Okay, so she's dead. She's dead now.
She's really dead.
She's
like really, really, really dead. And
dead.
We get our sword back.
Yeah. So, if you manage to defeat this hellish Haradan, turn to page 373. Haradan, that seems... I don't know what
that
word means, but I'm going to assume it's a slur. I hope it isn't. I'm going to Google.
How's it spelled?
H-A-R-R-I-D-A-N.
H-A-R-R-I-D-O-N?
A-N.
A-N. Haradan, a strict, bossy, or belligerent old woman.
I suppose that's appropriate for the centuries-old Wraith Lich Queen.
Yeah.
I learned a word today. I don't think I'm going to be able to use it very much.
I kind of hope not. Oh, Grandma, you're such a Haradan.
This is the worst birthday ever. Get out of here, my grandson. At your killing blow, the Wraith Queen howls in frustration as her own ethereal body dissolves into smoke. At the same time, a furious wind blows up from nowhere and carries the smoke away until all that is left of this Queen of the Damned is her scream. And then that too is nothing more than a fading echo. The Wraith Queen is truly dead at last, and the Blessed Blade Nightslayer is yours again.
Hooray!
Hooray! So we've still got physical form, which means we can pick it up and be really strong and tough.
Oh, yes!
Also, we got some stamina points from that. Don't we have a maximum stamina of 18? Yeah, so I'll just go back up to that.
What about the army cowering behind her throne?
I think they are kind of useless. Actually, let's get to that now. With Nightslayer in your hands, what's more, you feel now that nothing can stop you from completing your quest. It is a potent weapon indeed. It is good against demons, as well as magical creatures. And against any undead creature, whether corporeal or incorporeal, it will do more damage than regular. Okay, so it will normally cause 3 stamina points instead of 2. But we are cheating, so... The other undead present within the sepulchre hiss and back away from you in fear, some going so far as to clamber back into their tombs to escape your wrath. This place will need purging in time, but for now you have more pressing matters to attend to. And so, for the time being at least, you leave the court of the Wraith Queen in the catacombs. Turn to page 276. God, this is good. All right, do we have the code word hellfire on our adventure sheet?
No.
Not yet.
Not yet.
It sounds exciting, but I don't know how it might happen.
Well, I guess if we had maybe chosen the hellfire death and overcame that.
That's true. Anyway, as you approach the shadowed archway of the gatehouse at the near side of the moat bridge, you see two red glowing coals in the darkness ahead of you. With a furnace roar and a great clanking of metal, something truly monstrous rises to its full height before you, blocking your way to the bridge. Made of interlocking plates of iron, like some Goliath living suit of armour, at the joints you can see the intensity of the inferno raging within that gives it unnatural life. The face of this engine of destruction has been fashioned to look like that of some hellish horned skull. Its huge jaw drops open, and a searing blast of flame pours forth, the cobbles of the courtyard glowing red under this intense heat blast. God.
Well, that seems cheery.
Yeah. How come they've got, like, a mech at this point? Like, this is just... Even this is, like, magical fire, or this is just fully a robot. Probably with some teenager piloting it.
Going literal with the Deus Ex Machina.
Yeah. Hang on a second. It says if you have any of the code words Revenant, Host, or Armored, then we turn to a page. Otherwise, turn to a different page. I don't think we've got...
Different page.
Yeah, so we don't have any of those. We didn't get a code word for possessing our own body, did we, so...
No, we didn't. We got to use one for possessing our own body.
Hmm.
Okay. But I don't think we got one.
You can feel the relentless volcano fury of the golem coming off it in waves. How are you going to get past such an awesome obstacle as this? Will we attack it? Try to dodge past it? Use the Shade special ability, which we don't have, I think. I think we don't have that.
Did we? What is the Shade special ability?
I think it means we can go invisible. Did we ever use that before?
No.
Or use the Spirit special ability. So attack it, dodge past, or fly away.
Fly away and page Skull 1 to take it out.
Well, let's just check quickly, because we've got a physical body. I don't know whether we're actually allowed to fly away.
Oh, yeah. And flying has gone badly every single time.
Actually, no, just checked by cheating. We are allowed to fly away and keep a hold on our physical body. So we just...
Hooray!
At this point, we're just a flying zombie now.
Think happy thoughts.
Yeah. I believe in fairies.
Mm-hmm. I believe in golems.
Well, it doesn't matter if you believe in them or not. There's one right there. Taking to the air, you easily evade the raging golem. But now that you have broken the bonds that keep you earthbound, will you fight towards the battlements of the keep, or land again on the other side of the moat at the end of the bridge? We can do it. We can finally do it.
We could if we land at the end of the moat, we have a spirit door to go through, right?
But we've got a body as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's do it.
Okay.
Spirit door ain't nothing.
No. And so you make it across the moat to the imposing entrance of Valsinor's castle keep that you once called home, yet which now feels utterly alien and unwelcoming. We've read this before.
Mm-hmm.
Hang on a second.
Skim, 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 silver door, runes.
You have the phrase rest in peace written down your adventure sheet. Hang on.
What?
Hang on.
Are we looping? Did we hit a loop?
I think, yeah. Wait. Oh, God.
Oh, we're going to have to go pick up after we got in our body, aren't we?
Yeah. No, I made a mistake. We were supposed to put down the code word Revenant on our thing after we found the thing. After we possessed our own body, we're supposed to write down Revenant. So, let's rewind a bit before we found the golem. So, do you still have one of the following code words written on your adventure sheet, Revenant, Host, or Armored? Yes!
Revenant, yes.
We do. Good at this.
Look at that.
I've been doing this for so long, you'd think I would have, figured this out by now.
When it says to write down a word, that you should write down the word?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Alright, so we find the big clanky fire golem, fire-breathing metal monster. And it says Revenant on our thing, so we turn to page 194. Give me a second, I need to go and get my dice that I dropped on the floor.
Okay. Whoa! You okay?
I've got it! Okay.
It sounded like you dove off the end of a table.
I dove off the end of my bed.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so Hellfire Golem. With piss-living steps, the Hellfire Golem pounds towards you, gauntlet fists the size of anvils ready to pound you to a pulp. The magical machine opens its mouth in another inferno roar, and you see the white-hot fury that rages at its molten core. The only way to get past the golem is to defeat it in battle. Right,
and raid molten core.
Yes. I think if we take three of those, we can craft them into a new helmet.
Oh, okay, cool. Not upgrade our sword or anything?
I guess you can do that as well,
yeah.
But, like, Everything I've learned from Monster Hunter. That's just how I function in my day-to-day life. Right, so it's got a skill of 9. It rolled... Oh, snake eyes. Right, so it's impossible for us to lose. Okay, so we killed it. It's dead now.
Hooray!
Yay!
It's more dead. It's deader.
It's deadest. All right, so...
Is a golem ever really alive?
Oh, don't do that to me. This isn't that kind of podcast. Okay, so turn to page 122. Climbing over the motionless body of the golem, its metal body planking as it cools, you set foot on the bridge at last. The bridge spans the natural sea channel that lies between the headland on which the outer and inner wards of Valsinor Castle were constructed, and the separate spur of rock on which the imposing keep stands. Below you, the waves crash in white water spumes where the sea is funneled into the narrow channel, forcing the surging waves into the cliffs, sometimes even sending sprays of water cascading over the bridge itself.
Sounds like a very meditative place.
Yeah. I'm just going to chill out and, like, spend a few minutes here. Like, I suppose you can pick up the book after I'm done, but, like, you know, just going to watch the tides come in.
Yeah, hear the spray, you know,
yeah,
splashing across the bridge.
Very, very pleasant. Mm-hmm. Like, it's quite fun to say, what was it fun to say? White water spumes and tumultuous.
Tumultuous is just a fun word.
Tumultuous surge, yeah, exactly.
Everybody should get to say tumultuous at least, like, once a month.
If you're listening to this, say tumultuous with us together.
Ready? Okay. And?
Tumultuous.
Life is good.
Okay. There's a tumultuous surge beneath the bridge, by the way. It is little more than a gaping maw of shark-like teeth surmounting a sinuous serpentine body. With a primeval roar, the moat monster attacks.
Oh, no.
God. Is this what happens when people keep flushing their pets down the toilet, do you think?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. All of those tales of, you know, kids, you know, are in cities where they talk about, you know, people get pet alligators and then they start growing up so they flush them down.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what you're talking about? Yeah.
I mean, I didn't realize that our castle was in Florida, but...
I think it's just overall an urban legend, you know,
I see a lot more alligators in Florida than do in most other states in America, at least, so...
Well, generally, but you'd be really surprised what shows up over here, everywhere.
That's true.
It's kind of shocking.
Yeah.
Very large snakes.
I don't particularly want to explore most American sewer systems as well, so I think...
That's okay, neither do most Americans.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, back to the Shawshank Redemption.
Don't flush your pets down the toilets, kids.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
I mean, unless they're fish, because then you can go full burial at sea with them as well. But...
Yeah, but it's hard to tell when they're actually dead. They could just be sleeping.
They could be. I've actually got a story about that. When I was younger and living with my parents, we lived near to this garden centre that sold, like, water fountains, and there were fish to go in ponds as well, so you could get koi or different kinds of fancy fish. And...
They're fancy fish. That's what I feed my cats.
fancy tuna. Yeah. But when I was there, I remember looking at the bottom of one of these fish tanks and there was this fish hanging out at the bottom. And I thought, that fish is quite clearly dead. So I hailed somebody over and said, could you get rid of that fish? It's dead and I'm sure it's not safe for the others. And the person tending said, oh, don't worry, I'm sure that fish is fine. She poked it with a stick and then got off and started swimming off again. I thought, oh, that's great, thank you. I did not realise this at the time, but that person that poked that fish with a stick was Charlie Dimmock of BBC's Ground Force, which was a... old TV show from, like, early 2000s, late 90s.
Oh, yeah, so old. Oh, my God.
Yeah, well...
You know, that's when I was in college, right?
From when I was a little lad, essentially. From when I would be concerned about a dead fish in a tank of other fish. Anyway, yeah, it was an old, I think it was BBC show, about going to places and renovating people's gardens for them. And... Yeah, the person that poked the fish was Charlie Dimmock off the show, who was one of the ladies who lived quite nearby. And that kind of went over my head at the time because I was quite young.
But that's your interesting fact for the day.
Here's the thing. I've just talked for about 2 or 3 minutes about Ground Force. And I think this is the only podcast in 2014 that's going to do that. And I feel like if you listen to this show, if you know about Ground Force, if you know about Charlie Dimmock, you're going to be at the Eurogamer Expo meetup with Minute Resistance in late September. You're allowed to slap me in the face if you fulfill all those criteria. I feel
we
like
have
that's
a
only
quest,
fair. Yes.
Comrades. we must find our hero who can fulfill the requirements and the prophecy.
I'll go into that now. The lads behind Midnight Resistance, which is a fun website, they were on episode 5, no, episode 6, Appointment with Fear. They are hosting a meetup in London. There is there's information about that on their website. I'll post a link in the show notes below. But yeah, if you are in London for the Eurogamer Expo and you're going to be at the Minor Resistance thing, come say hello. I'd be happy to chat with you. And if you've seen Ground Force, hit me. Anyway. So there's a moat monster we've got to kill with a sword.
Okay, right.
All right, so it's got a skill of 9. It rolled 7, which gives it 16, which is a formidable foe.
We can do this.
We rolled 10, so it's dead now.
Yeah!
Yeah! All right, yeah! So let's go to page 449, which is, like, right before the final page. So
are you serious?
Like, yeah, it's building up tension, because, like, the book ends on 450. So 449 is, like, getting us real hyped up for the final encounter.
I'm feeling this. I'm feeling this tension. I feel like, you know, we should, like, take a moment and reflect, because what if?
Well,
I mean, what if?
What event? Wait. That's not a word.
It could be.
it's going to be soon.
Well, like, in my mind, what's going to happen here is we're going to get across and finally reach the front of the keep and get into the final confrontation, and then everybody we have helped, whether they are still alive or like the old wise woman, you know, with her chest throat slit open by her familiar, you know, the ghost, you know, the ghosts that we freed or created along the way, all come behind us and stand together with us to free the land of the scourge.
So they're all like, I was just imagining that they're like, they're clapping, and it's like the end of Evangelion something.
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah. I'm thinking like the end of Les Mis, but positive.
I could get behind that, yeah. We could do with some positivity in this book. Okay. At least we're not getting arrested like the end of Seinfeld.
I've never seen that, so.
Sorry for spoiling it. Anyway.
Yeah, spoilers, dude. Tag your spoilers.
And so you stand before the spirit-warded entrance of the keep once more. Only this time the blackwood double doors open to your touch, and you enter the grand pillared hall beyond. Now that you have gained access to the keep, do you want to quit your recently acquired physical form, or would you prefer to continue on your way just as you are? Do you want to be a ghost, or do you want to be a gross zombie dude?
Well, I mean, do you think if we come across other spirit doors, we may be able to pick up a body again? Because otherwise, the ghost body, you know, it may serve us to travel light.
I think we just, we stick with our own body. And, like, if we leave it behind, we're just going to be leaving it at the front door. Because I don't think we've got the ability to possess other people's bodies. We can only possess our own. Because, you know, stick with what you know, essentially. Also, if we stay in our physical body, we've got an extra life.
Oh, we do.
Should we stick with our physical body?
Do you really think we should?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
All right. In your physical form, you may not use any of the ghostly powers you might have acquired during the course of your adventure so far. However, you are able to pick up and use physical objects. And of course, if your physical form is destroyed, you can still proceed with your quest in spirit form, at which point you'll be able to use your ghostly abilities again, but no longer be able to carry anything. You may well find that there are other areas within the keep that are off-limit to spirits. If you come to a paragraph marked with an asterisk, and as long as you still have your physical form, you investigate what's behind the door by adding 30 to the paragraph number. Oh, okay, so, like, if we see a thing that's got the asterisk next to it, we can go into a different path in the game. That's pretty cool.
More spirit doors.
Yeah, but for now, turn to page 170.
Okay, sending us all the way back again.
Yes. As you proceed through the hall, you are suddenly bathed in brilliant arctic light, and you find yourself unable to move.
Ugh.
So it's not that brilliant.
Yeah.
You can see
not brilliant, not brilliant like metaphorically, like literally brilliant.
Oh. You can see nothing all around you but for the blinding whiteness. And then out of the light, a rasping human voice speaks. Each thing has its allotted span, but how many years is the life of man? If you think you know this answer to this riddle, turn to the paragraph with the same number. If not, if the paragraph you turn to makes no sense, then turn to 372.
Oh. How many... What? How many years is the life of... Are we, like, on average?
Well, if it's on average, then I guess it's going to be, like, 70, 80, isn't it? Or
yeah, I would say 70.
Oldie time. Okay.
Or is it specific? Is it asking us how old we are?
Hang on. Okay, so I turn to page 69. A bony tail suddenly comes out of nowhere and whips you off your feet. I don't think that's it, but that's quite funny to imagine, like, a crook comes off from a stage and pulls us away. No, okay. Hang on.
That's all, folks.
Let's turn to page 70, because that's the average lifespan, even though it's the Dark Ages, like, or something. Then the voice comes again. No breastplate, shield, or armoured helm can gainst my blade defend. Prince and pauper, knight and maid, all face me in the end. No weapon forged can strike me down, no arrow, sword, or lance. King and servant, rich and poor, shall join me in my dance. Who am I?
Oh my gosh, I'm sorry, can you say that one more time, a little more slowly?
Okay. Should we go into, like, the full, like, break kayfabe on this quickly?
What?
Should we break kayfabe on this and tell the people at home what's happened?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, sure. Right, let's do this.
We had technical difficulties the first time we went through this. I actually couldn't figure out what the answer to the riddle was. But then, like, on the re-record to finish off this episode of the podcast, I think we figured out what the answer to the first one was.
Oh my god! Oh my god! This is, like, okay. The best mistake ever.
Oh, you sound like my parents. Anyway... No breastplate, shield, or armored helm can gainst my blade defend. Prince
okay,
and
wait,
Crawford...
wait, pause.
Okay.
No breastplate, shield, or armored helm
can gainst my blade defend. Prince okay. and pauper, knight and maid, all face me in the end. No weapon forged can strike me down, no arrow, sword, or lance. King and servant, rich and poor, shall join me in my dance.
Oh,
who
but
am I?
That's easy. Death.
Yeah, it's death. All right, I'm going to do another cut here so I can do the adding up quickly.
Okay. Oh, this is fantastic.
Wow, I figured that out quickly. I'm really clever.
Except when it comes to record buttons.
Shut up. Your unearthly interrogator is not done with you yet. It has one more question to ask.
Uh-oh.
Many have claimed this keep before, but who now is Lord of Valsinor?
Or Thunk. Wait, no, Unthank. What was his name? Unthank. Yeah.
Yes.
Unthank.
Because that was something that we remembered and didn't have to go through in the technical difficulties bit. The
right.
Chamberlain of the castle, obviously in the foreword, it mentioned our
the
best
three
mate,
people
Unthank.
We missed. Yeah, yeah. The people we missed were sister,
Oriana,
Chamberlain, dog.
Chamberlain and the dog.
Yes.
And the dog didn't have a name, but Unthank did, so.
And we already met the sister, so.
Yes, so let's.
So your name is Rumpelstiltskin.
I claim my £5. I'm going to make a cut here again so I can add his name up quickly.
Okay.
And we figured it out. The guy's name is Unthank, so that means that we go add his name together gives us 89.
Mm-hmm.
Double that gives us 178, because mm-hmm. it asks us to do that as well for whatever reason, just to try and trip us up, I think. So, turn to 178.
It almost won.
Yep. As abruptly as it appeared, the light is gone, plunging the entrance hall into darkness once more. But, undaunted, you continue on your way until it opens out into a vast chamber, and you begin to realise how much the keep has been altered in the time you've been away. The interior of the vast structure is now nothing more than a shell. The upper floors and internal walls have been pulled down, the rubble from this mass destruction piled in great drifts of brick and stone at the sides of the vast chamber so created.
So, nobody lives here, but the ghosts.
Yes, I guess so.
So why are we saving this place? Where's
because
our sister
does.
Been? Is our sister alive? Is our sister the necromancer?
Well, I don't know where she's been, because we've been away for 3 years. She is alive. Is she the necromancer? Maybe. But once the skeletons of those beasts slain by the lords of Valsinor Castle were displayed in all their Ossic glory, now there is only a pile of broken bones. On the other side of the chamber, at the northwest and northeast corners of the keep, you can see two still intact spiral staircases leading up towards the battlements and down into dungeons, respectively. But it would seem that there is life in these calcified remains yet. As you enter the chamber, some of the bones start to move, rattling across the stone floor towards each other, joining together as if they remember how they once connected in life. And yet bones from all manner of shattered skeletons are joining together in this way as something monstrous manifests within the shell of the keep.
So now we get a bone golem.
Yes. How will you deal with this latest threat? Will we race across the chamber towards the northwest staircase, try to make it to the northeast staircase, or get ready to fight it?
Well, if we fight it, it probably won't take too long. And we might get another skill up.
Yeah, that's true. Let's fight it quickly.
Okay. Random encounter. We're gonna use it to grind XP.
The last few bones slot into place, and then the bone beast is complete. But what is it that stands before you now? So, we roll a die and see what the creature is. We got 3. So...
Oh, so we get a choice? The dice get to choose what the creature is?
Yeah.
Ah!
The bone beast has been created from the bones of a fantastical beast, such as a manticore, a chimera, and a basilisk. So you know the battle you're about to fight is going to be legendary. It's not that legendary, it's got a skill of 9. So.
Oh, great. So it's so legendary, it's almost as legendary as we are at this point.
Nearly, but not quite. So it rolls 6, which gives it a skill of 15. We rolled... Oh, we rolled 9, so it's dead.
Yeah.
Okay. So we managed to defeat the bone beast, so we turn to page 236, whatever that means for us. At your killing blow, the necromantic magic holding the bone beast together is dispelled in a burst of noxious energy, and it crumbles in a pile of skeletal remains once more. Amidst all the bones and rubble that fills the interior of the keep, you find scraps of treasure and other field items of interest, which are only going to be of any use to you if you still have a physical body with which to carry them.
Hooray!
So we can pause and do some treasure hunting right now.
Alright, so...
Let's get our grubby
hands on. Divide up the loot.
Okay. So we can roll 3 times,
mm-hmm.
and then that's what we get.
Okay.
I'll roll 2 dice a total of 3 times, okay. So, first one is We rolled 11, which gives us an onyx necklace worth 4 gold pieces.
Okay. So we have vendor loot.
Yep, we've got rolled 4, which gives us a velvet purse containing 6 gold pieces.
Okay.
And we rolled 10, which gives us a battle axe.
Nice. Which just... all of this still somehow does not make us the richest piece of rotting flesh in this country.
No. I mean, after all, this is the necromancer's entire night, so it feels like out on the town, I suppose. All right, so we've got a big axe, a nice necklace, and some change.
Wait, so all of this has happened in one night?
Yes.
Wow. So basically, this is the book equivalent of 24, where it actually takes you as long to read through as it does for the events to happen.
I think you could be right there, yeah. All right, so when we're done searching for treasure, will we go through the northwest spiral staircase or the northeast spiral staircase?
Which one goes up?
I think it goes northwest.
Let's go northwest. Bad guys like places of authority, and up is authority, right?
Yeah, that's right. Making your way up the winding stair, you come at last to a turret room that must be at the very top of the keep. The room is completely empty, apart from the shimmering ball of light 3 meters in diameter hovering at its centre.
Well, that's not empty.
No, that's an orb right there.
Yeah, that's an orb.
The object you can just about make out through the glare of the swirling surface of the spectral sphere. It would appear to be a book of some kind. Will we enter the sphere of light, hit it with our weapon, use the banished spirit special ability, or retrace our steps and go up the northeast stair, or down the northeast stair?
Hmm. Are we going to wish we had killed it if we leave?
It's got a book in there. It seems important.
Yeah. I mean, glowing books are something you want to do something about.
Yeah.
So it asks if we want to hit the book, which means stepping into the light?
Hit the sphere with our weapon, enter the sphere of light, or use banished spirit on it.
Hmm. Well, I mean, I guess it wouldn't necessarily hurt to try banished spirit, and we would get to try 2 more times.
Yeah.
Seems a very loose definition of spirit, but...
The spirit sphere disappears in an explosion of actinic light accompanied by the howling of spirit voices as a tremendous rushing wind fills the turret room. The book that was previously suspended at the heart of the sphere drops to the floor with a bang. It is an evil-looking thing, bound in what you hope is only black leather and bearing the image of a leering human skull on its front, along with its name, Codex Mortis.
Let's go stab it.
Oh, stab it? I was just going to pick it up.
Well, you can't leave that lying about. Look at the damage it's already caused.
Yeah, but I think, like, well, our options are either take it with us or leave it there. Or I suppose stab it with a sword, but...
But that's not really, if it's not written in there, then we're kind of on our own.
Yeah.
I guess let's take it with us.
Yeah, we didn't have to use it for evil ourselves, so...
No.
Descending the staircase, you enter the dungeons that lie beneath the Great Keep. This is an area you had little to do with when you were alive, but now that you're dead, you have little choice but to explore the dungeons. Your nemesis awaits you somewhere within the dark passageways and half-forgotten cells.
This is why you should always explore all of the secret areas in your own house.
Yeah. I was expecting you to say in your own house, but there we go. It's like gone home. It is not long before you come to a plain wooden door in the right-hand wall of the passage. The only thing of interest about it is the sign that has been written on a torn scrap of parchment in what appears to be red ink. Although it could well be blood, and nailed to the door. It reads, "Keep out." But you can't help noticing that the door is slightly ajar. So we can either enter it, or we can continue on our merry way.
I would say head on in, but I'm also kind of wondering how the plain wooden door is not suspicious in a night that has been filled with dark wooden doors overlaid with gold and silver and runes and glowing, and you need dead bodies to enter. I would say at this point, a plain door is highly suspicious, so let's go in.
Okay. You find yourself inside an utterly appalling room.
Imagine that.
What a terrible room. This is just dreadful.
Get that orange with that pink. Oh my god, what were they thinking?
It is a torture chamber. There can be absolutely no doubt about that. The implements of the torturer's trade are everywhere. Braziers, chairs covered in iron spikes, and all manner of confining irons litter the dungeon cell or hang by chains from the ceiling. But none are as deserving of awe as the 2-meter-tall iron maiden that stands in the centre of the chamber. It has been made to mimic the shape of the human body, having 2 arms and 2 legs, as well as a trunk and a head. I don't think iron maidens had 2 arms and legs. That seems weird.
Yeah, usually they were just kind of like
bulbous.
Like a cylinder-ish, yeah, bulbous kind of humanish shape to toss somebody in.
Yeah. You could never have guessed how close it resembled a human being until, with a squealing of rusted iron joints, The horrific torture implement comes to life.
Oh no, that's bad.
This is silly. Stomping across the floor in its iron-shoed feet, it blocks your way out of the torture chamber. So we've got no choice but to fight the magically animated Iron Maiden, which is as capable of injuring you as you are of damaging it.
Okay, well, you know, that's an upside.
Yeah. So it's got a skill of 8, it rolled 5, so it's got 13 to play with. And it's dead now.
Yep. I was saying, we'd have to, like, snake eyes that to lose.
Yeah. Alright, so we kill it and we leave. That was really silly.
That was. And I hope you appreciate all the jokes I did not make about now you realize what your dad was up to all those years.
My dad was a punk. I don't think he listened to any metal, so. Anyway, so we turn to page 56, but that's got an asterisk next to it. A gross zombie, which means you get to turn to page 86 instead.
Yeah.
You enter what would appear to be an alchemist's chamber. Benches and tables are covered with all manner of glass alembics, crucibles, jars of powdered compounds, and flasks of curiously coloured liquids. There's even a stuffed crocodile suspended from the ceiling.
Told you.
Didn't flush it this time. However, one thing draws your attention more than any other. It is a lavish flask that appears to be made from black glass. Either that or its contents are black. It is sealed with a clasp-bound stopper, and etched into the glass are the words Oil of Midnight.
I was expecting drink me.
No! I don't think we want to drink this. I don't think this wants to touch our lips at all. But I'm going to write it down, because Oil of Midnight sounds important. Don't you think?
Yeah, it does sound important. Important. Where am I from now?
Don't know. Midnight oil is the thing that you burn when you're working late, isn't it? So.
Yeah. So the alchemist was just very industrious.
Yeah. He's a bit of a night owl. Nothing else interests you as much as this, so if you want to take the flask with you as you leave, then record it on your adventure sheet. Turn to page 436.
Okay.
Not much further on, you come to a T-junction. Do you want to go left or right?
Left.
Okay. To your right is a sturdy oak door, banded with iron. It is a suitably serious-looking lock, but the key has been left in it. So you can either unlock the door and enter the room beyond, or you can rather not get distracted and continue on our way deeper into the dungeons.
I don't know, we're getting some cool stuff here.
Yeah.
Let's unlock it really fast.
Sure.
Real speed. Might be a trap.
As soon as you open the door, the man chained to the wall on the other side of the musty cell cries out, "No, no more, please, not again. Why can't you just leave me alone?" It takes you a moment, but thanks to the murky shadows and the filthy state of the prisoner, but you recognise the man. It is Iago, the jailer. Not a particularly pleasant character, but no villain by any means. Do you want to enter the cell and see what you can do to help the jailer? Would you rather leave him to his fate?
No, let's go check on him, because that's not really a good thing when the jailer is the one locked up.
Yeah, it's
like this suggests something bad is happening.
Yeah, some kind of weird mirror world.
Yeah.
Who did this to you? You demand of the blinking jailer. And then he realizes that you're not his tormentors and a smile brightens his face. Are you here to save me? He asks, completely ignoring your question. You decide to help him, hoping that he'll return the favour.
Yeah.
As you do what you can to free him from his shackles, Iago's turn runs away with him. He tells you that Chamberlain Unthank was the one who had him imprisoned within the dungeons, and then sent his undead servants to torment him.
What?
What?
Undead servants?
Oh, I can't believe Unthank was the villain all along.
Oh no, if only we had it messed up the recording first time and inadvertently read the ending.
Iago also tells you that Unthank had been hiding certain artifacts of power, which he has recovered from all corners of the kingdom within the dungeons behind spirit water doors. He thinks that behind one of these doors there is an artifact he once heard the chamber refer to as the Soul Shield. And then Iago is free, but at that very moment, a dreadful moaning fills the squalid cell. Oh no, not now, they're coming back, he screams in panic. In the blaze of black light, two hideous apparitions materialize within the cell. They look like decomposing corpses bound in rotten bandages, great chains sounding from their wrists and ankles. And then the jailer's tormentors attack, and you're forced to fight for your continued survival once again. But they're really weak, and I don't know if I can bother to fight them, so shall we just say that they're dead now?
Yeah, how weak are we talking about? Because if their skill is like 8 or below, they're dead without... Yeah, they're dead without us rolling.
Okay.
They're dead without us rolling.
Free of his tormentors and his incarceration, Iago heaps thanks upon you, asking, foolishly perhaps, if there's anything he can do in return. And there might be one thing, if you no longer have a physical form. If this is the case and you have the spook special ability, we can possess him, I guess.
Aww. That's
if not, and the free jailer goes, you're the free jailer, go your separate ways, as he attempts to escape the keep altogether, while you penetrate deeper into its dungeon levels.
Suddenly, you hear banshee screams.
Iago is now dead.
Or is he?
So this has got the asterisk next to it, so let's turn to page 446 instead of 416.
That was a good call to keep that body.
Beyond the spirit door, you find yourself at one end of a long, narrow room. It is lit by torches mounted in sconces. The flickering light is being reflected from the mirrored surface of a magnificent shield that is hanging on the wall at the far end of the chamber. But upon entering the room, you disturb the shield's guardian, giving voice to a guttural growl. The great silver-haired beast that has been set to guard this chamber raises its head. Then a second, snarling voice. joins the first and second head turns to look at you. So you can see the mirrored shield from this chamber. If you want to steal the mirrored shield from the chamber, you're going to have to get past the mutant moon dog.
Well, that's easy. We just need to, like, play music softly.
Well, this is the thing. We can attack it. We can play it something on a lyre. Or we can slam the dog quickly before the dog can reach us. But we don't have a lyre, and I think we want the shield, so let's kill it.
Okay.
Sorry, dog.
Poor puppy.
Weapon in hand, you prepare to take on the monstrous hound, existing half in the ethereal realm and half in the earthly plane. The moon dog is as effective at harming your spirit form as it is its physical body.
Okay. But
it's going to go down like a sack of
boom.
Shit. Yeah. Goodbye, Moondog.
Bye, puppy.
Alright, page 53. Stepping past the massive beast, you stand at last before the mirrored shield. If a physical form, you can take it with you.
Yay!
Nice!
Cool! Cha-ching. Right.
That gives us a skill of 11. Mm. We are unstoppable.
Our skills go to 11.
It's like, it's one bigger. The passageway brings you to a flight of stone steps that descend into the darkness below. Considering what you have encountered so far in the dungeons, as you follow the steps down into the gloom, you wonder what horrors await you deeper beneath Baltanor. The stairs double back on themselves, and then you find yourself another stone-walled passageway. A sound like a rattlesnake's tail vibrating causes you to freeze, and you peer into the murk ahead of you. Hmm. A little further on, a new passageway branches off to the left. The tunnel also continues ahead of you, but clinging half to the wall and half to the ceiling by its large ivory dew claws is a hideous creature that appears to be an amalgam of a large lizard of some kind, with a rattlesnake's tail, its scaly skin mottled green and brown. However, its head looks horribly like a fleshless human skull. Ugh. Yeah. Although the nictitating golden eyes in that skull are undoubtedly reptilian, and a forked tongue darts from its open mouth, tasting the stale, musty air of the corridors. So we can either continue along, you're going to have to fight the catacomb crawler, or we can try turning to the left before the creature becomes aware of our presence. So we can fight it or we can sidestep it.
Oh, so basically, do we want to go left or forward?
Yeah, but going forward means we'll have to fight.
Oh, please. If we go left, we would be doing the creature a favor and letting it live.
Yeah.
Ah, sure, let's go left.
Alright. Trying to move as quickly and yet as stealthily as possible, you lunge for the turning to the left. So let's test our skill here. Oh, we did it. Okay. Page 154. The passageway ends at a sturdy oak door, but someone has been careless and left it open, passing through into the
chamber. There's a lot of people carelessly leaving doors open and locks with keys in them, and...
Yeah, this is taking a bit too long. Passing through into the chamber beyond, you are hit first by the size of the space, and secondly by the absolutely appalling smell. The room, if it can be called that, is at least 30 metres long. Its high ceiling, supported by crumbling pillars 10 metres tall. Burning braziers illuminate the vast vaulted space, also allowing you to see the pool that lies at its centre. In fact, this pool looks more like a vast sewer. The pool crosses the chamber from one side to the other without leaving so much as a ledge for you to skirt around it. And it is no wonder that such a disgusting stench fills the chamber. The pool is filled with a stomach-turning soup of putrefying flesh and worse. It's really gross.
Necrosoup.
Yeah, don't drink it. Amidst puddles of foaming bile, you see leg bones, skulls, rib cages, and calcified hands poking above the surface. Looking at the pool, you have no idea how deep it could be, but there's a way across it. One of the pillars that once helped support the roof now lies across its width, forming huge stepping stones across the middle of the pool. On the other side of the vile pool with putrescence, another tunnel leads away from this chamber, deeper underground, but this exit is blocked by a spiked iron gate cast with a grinning demonic face. You will obviously need to cross the pool to proceed any further and find your nemesis, but by what means? So will we cross by means of the broken pillar, step into the pool and hope we can wade across it, attempt to leap over to the other side, or use the spirit special ability?
If we use the special ability, we have to lose the human form, right?
Yeah, we'd need to ditch our human form.
I would say pillar, broken pillar, is that just too easy?
I'm not sure. Let's find out. What's the worst that can happen?
Well.
Cautiously, you step out onto the broken column spanning the putrid pool. Okay. If you're inhabiting a physical body, you must test your luck. We've got a luck of 12. No, okay. 11, sorry. I'll tell you this now, we were lucky.
Ooh! So,
you make it safely to the other side. Hooray!
Yay!
And so you stand before the barbed iron gate, cast with the luring demon's face. It is too heavy for you to lift, and is even resistant to ethereal methods of entry. There's only one thing that will cause the gate to open, as it tells you with relish, in a gurgling growl of gruesome delight. Flesh! So... There are several ways we can get through this. If we have some Iron Bane, we can try that on the gate. If we have the code word Revenant on our adventure sheet...
We do! We do!
That means we can make an offering of our own flesh to the Demon Gate. If we have the code word Armored, we can do something. Or we can turn to a different page. But I guess we're going to turn to the thing for Revenant.
That means we drop everything we had, though. The Spirit Shield, the Midnight Oil...
Or maybe it doesn't. I'm not sure what's going to happen.
Okay.
Maybe just bite us. Okay.
Okay.
It takes all your courage, but nonetheless, you approach the gate and press a hand against one of the barbed spikes. You close your eyes and wait for the inevitable. But the sensation is actually not as bad as you were expecting. So at least 2 stamina points.
Oh, that's it? Cool.
That was it. I think it was just, like, testing us
test,
to see.
Yeah. Test of the flesh.
Yeah. Ugh. With a grating of blood-scabbed hinges... With a grating... Ooh. With a grating of blood-scabbed hinges, the demon gate opens, gurgling happily to itself. Not wanting to spend another moment here, you hurry through. Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah.
Beyond the demon gate, you descend another flight of steps, and enter a rock-cut tunnel that is shored up with rib bones of some great creature. A bull whale, perhaps, so that it feels as if you're walking down the gullet of some rapacious behemoth. But eventually this ends too, and you find yourself entering a near spherical underground cavern. Ahead of you, across a narrow stone causeway, stands a column of rock upon which rests a circular gateway of black stone. Surrounding the column is a fiery pit, a hungry flames filling the cavern with an infernal glow. You are certain that you have reached the deepest part of the dungeon now, but there is no sign of the villain you have been pursuing. The only figure present is a large rotting corpse standing beside the black gate, wearing ancient rusted armour and carrying a skull-headed mace. A potent weapon against both the living and the dead.
No.
Somehow you know that you must that to find your nemesis, you must pass through the gate, whatever wherever it may take you.
But which means right, fighting.
Yeah. To earn that right, you're going to have to battle the gruesome gatekeeper first.
Stepping okay.
off the bridge, you prepare to meet your destiny. Right. Right. So we rolled 10, and that's
okay.
my skill of 11, because you've got a cool shield, against his skill of 10. He rolls 9.
Yay!
So, he's dead now.
Okay. Deader.
Deadest.
Gone. Ceased to be.
And so you step up to the forbidding gateway. Within the circle of black stone is a whirling vortex of starlight, and some sixth sense tells you that your destiny lies beyond it. Come on.
As an undead, shouldn't we have like a seventh or eighth sense by now?
I think we've got like a dozen senses.
Yeah.
Taking your courage in both hands, you step through it. You emerge on a windswept hillside overlooking a circle of 9 standing stones. But that is not all you can see before you. At the end of the headland, jutting out into the cold, dark diamond sea ahead of you, stands Valsinor Castle. The magical gateway has transported you to virtually the very spot where the drama of this night's unfolding began.
Mm.
Not far away lies the moorland road, where you were struck down by the murdering band of the cruel-hearted Death Acolyte. And here you are again, as Chamberlain Unthank prepares to bring his evil plans to fruition. But what are they exactly? Looking out across the wind-blasted heather, you can see the traitorous necromancer standing before the altar stone of the 9 maidens. He is clad in black, and holding an obsidian dagger in both hands over the body of the sacrificial victim that has been bound to the stone with glowing chains of magical power.
Oh, I have a guess there.
Who is it?
Sister!
You're right. It's your sister, Lady Oriana. It wasn't the wise woman that we killed earlier. Standing within the ring of standing stones, forming a second circle around the altar, are the members of Unthank's death cult. There are 5 black-clad acolytes, 3 dreadknights of the Order of the Black Shroud, and 4 faceless shadow-born creatures trailing smoky tendrils with claws formed of impenetrable darkness.
Mm.
With the necromancer that makes 13, a full coven.
Oh no! Here we go again.
They keep going back to like poorly researched Wicca.
Well, see, the thing is, are we going Gardnerian here? Because they should be naked.
Oh, I wish we were going Gardnerian. Everything about the scene before you gives the impression that the ritual being enacted here is approaching its climax. It is then that the moonlight itself fails and fades. Looking up at the cloudless heavens, you see a dark shadow fall across the face of the moon, as a lunar eclipse plunges the world into total darkness. You can't shake the...
Okay.
Go on.
Okay. No, that's okay. Okay.
Hmm?
Usually a full lunar eclipse even mostly appears of like a really dark reddish moon because of the way light bends around the earth.
Yeah.
So, it wouldn't necessarily be, like, total darkness.
It says total darkness in the book, so
okay.
That's what I'm going with.
Okay.
You can't shake the feeling that this darkness could well last longer than the duration of the eclipse if something isn't done to stop Unthank and his death cult. Do you want to rush to attack the Necromancer and save your sister from certain death? Or will you fight every instinct that tells you to do otherwise and take your time to consider your actions more carefully?
We should probably consider our actions.
Yeah. I mean, they wouldn't have put that in there if that was what we weren't meant to do, but... I don't know.
Plus, didn't that same circle of standing stones help us once? So really, the necromancer is twisting the actual spiritual practice of the area to his purposes, so
I think maybe the
land itself will help us.
I think the standing stones themselves are like a gateway between here and somewhere else, possibly the afterlife, but I don't think it is that yet. So we're considering our actions.
Yes, we're considering our actions.
Certain that the ritual is at its height. If you don't act quickly, you will forfeit your sister's life. But what can you do to disrupt the blasphemous rite? Will you try to penetrate the stone circle by stealth? Use a jet amulet, if you have one. Use a black hourglass, if you have one. Use the Spirit Stone if you have one. We didn't have any of those.
Nope.
Or use the Codex Mortis if you have it.
Ah! There we go.
There we go. We've got it.
There's the rub.
So we're going to use the Codex Mortis.
Mm-hmm.
Letting the black-bound spellbook fall open in your hands, you're immediately confronted by three spells, which may be suitable given the circumstances. The only problem is that although you can pronounce the words written in human blood, you do not actually understand the meaning of the dark tongue of necromancy. And then two of the shadowy tenebrae are gliding towards you over damp grass and frosted heather, reaching for you with their claws of darkness. You're going to have to make a decision and fast. Which spell will you read? So there's three. Die det fos tirip se zin abot, senuk rade truok kusot, or li vef oika fit nignot sebot.
Let's go with the middle one.
Senuk rade truok kusot.
Or the first one.
So you rather go with die det fos tirip se zin abot.
I really wish I could see these written out.
Or the last one was li vef oika fit nignot sebot. I don't know if it's, like, an anagram, or, like, read it backwards and it says something else, or whether it is just gibberish.
Yeah. Let's go with the middle one.
Okay, but I'm leaving my finger on the page.
Okay.
As you shape the words, the air around you thickens perceptibly. Surely it can be possible for the eclipse to get any darker. That is how it feels to you now. Unknown to you, your spells enhance the powers of the shadow-born horrors that are about to attack you. Nope! Alright, so do you want to do the first one?
Sure, let's do the first one.
Okay. As you speak the words of the invocation, the shadowborn tenebrae scream in pain and dissolve back into the darkness they originally summoned from. Nice, we did it first time. Alright, turn to page 132. A sound like a thunderclap bursts across the circle of standing stones, and you know that Unthank the Necromancer has achieved what he set out to do this night through his dark ritual. Oh. Thus, the Shadow King comes, right from the remaining cultists, who will fall to their knees in obeisance? There's a typo. They spelled obedience, but in the wrong order, I think. Anyway, all fall to their knees except for Unthank. Behold the Lord of Shadows, he declares, standing up at the moonless sky above the Nine Maidens, the rule of the night, your lord and master. Something is condensing out of the moonless night at the very centre of the stone circle. As you watch, dumbfounded, a looming figure twice as tall as a man takes shape, clothing itself in the very fabric of the night. It looks like a giant wearing ancient armour. Forged from the metal of the night, beneath a shroud of darkness, an ornate crowned helm on its head, but it is its face that stops you in your tracks, for it doesn't have one.
Dun, dun, dun.
Spooky. All that lies beneath its armoured helm are two malevolently glowing coals that burn red like a pair of dying stars. And then the lunar eclipse passes and the apparition is revealed in all its malignant glory. Peering down at the ground, it fixes the necromancer with its malevolent gaze. Then it reaches forth its hand and a blade of pure darkness forms within it. It raises the 2-meter-long blade above its head, pauses for a moment, and then brings it down in a sweeping arc and Unthank is cut down with a single stroke.
No.
Arrogant fool! The dread apparition snarls in a voice like the slamming of crypt doors. Ooh, spooky. add the code of retribution to your adventure sheet. Okay. The cultists start to whimper in fear. You suddenly feel colder than you have ever felt in your life, and the hairs on the back of your neck start to rise. But that shouldn't be possible. Alright, so we've got Revenant on our character sheet, so we turn to page 275 for this.
Okay.
I think this is the final showdown.
Uh-oh.
You experience a sudden weird sense of dislocation, and looking down at your body, watch as your spirit form is expelled from the borrowed body you have been using. It is such an unnerving experience, you take a sharp breath in surprise, but that shouldn't be possible either. Hang on. Okay, you look down at your body, but you can no longer see the world through your misty form. Before your very eyes, your ethereal form is becoming opaque as it solidifies, and your ghost self becomes a thing of blood, flesh and bone once more.
Oh!
So we discarded our old body, and now
we've became human again.
Yeah. Alright. Suddenly, it all becomes clear in your mind. Unthank was living on borrowed time, your lifetime in fact. Now that he is dead, that life force has been restored to you. You're alive again, and a ghost no more.
Oh, yay! Wait, did we lose any points?
No, we gained them.
Ooh.
The monstrous nightborn spectre peers down at you, and a voice like thunder rolls across the windswept hillside. Bow before me, worm! Its burning ember eyes bore into you like smouldering branding irons. Okay, so we roll two dice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to...
Right, see what happens. we will roll?
We rolled five. I think that needs to play against our will.
So oh, cool.
Turn to page 159. The will of the Shadow King, one of the Lords of Death, is a powerful force indeed. A tangible force like some crushing tentacle of evil. But you have not fought your way through hosts of undead, facing untold dangers to be resurrected from the dead, only to fail now.
Yeah.
Chamberlain Unthank may be dead, and your need for vengeance satisfied, but now an even greater evil threatens the future of these lands. As great an evil, in fact, as that defeated by the massed forces of the Crusade against evil that cleansed Bathoria. I shall not bow before you, you scream in defiance at the undead entity. Your servant, Unthank the Necromancer, failed to destroy me, even though he tried, and so shall you fail too. Thunder rumbles over, around the stone circle again, and it takes a moment for you to realise that the Shadow King is mocking you with laughter. So, turn to page 375. Actually, no, do we have the code word retribution? I don't think we do we?
Retribution? No, I don't believe so.
That's new to me. You may not fear death, the Shadow King booms, but during an eternity of servitude you shall learn to fear me. With his mighty sword of darkness in his fell grip, the Shadow King strides towards you, ready to engage you in the most titanic struggle of your life. But how can you fight one of the great undead and win? Will you use an Oil of Midnight, or use the Codex Mortis?
Ooh.
Or we can just punch him to death. We can rather face the Shadow King in hand-to-hand combat, pitting cold steel against cold steel.
I want to see what the Oil of Midnight does.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to use it, now seems like the best time.
Might as well burn it.
Yeah. Unstoppering the flask, you hurl it at the advancing Shadow King. The effect is instantaneous. Where the oil splashes over the nightborn body of the undead lord, it burns like acid, eating away at the Shadow King's form. The Shadow King roars in pain and fury, and you barely have time to draw your own weapon before he is on you. When you come to fight the Shadow King, reduces skill by 2.
Yes!
Also a stamina by 6 points, but... Okay. Are you fighting the Shadow King with a magical or holy weapon? I'm pretty sure the sword we've got is magical, isn't it?
They mentioned the blessed thing?
Might blade singer thing.
Yes. Windseeker, yeah.
Yeah, Windseeker. Alright, prepare to learn what an eternity and torment is really like, the Shadow King roars. Whatever
he has apparently, he obviously has not caught up to speed on what our night has been like so far.
Yeah. Whatever the outcome, this will be one battle you remember for the rest of your life, no matter how long or short that amount of time may be. Okay. Right, so he's got a skill of 13, but he doesn't because he threw midnight oil in his face.
Yeah.
So he's got a skill of 11.
Right, so we're evenly matched. Yes. Oh.
Right.
I'm nervous.
So I rolled 11, which gives us 22 to play with. He rolled 6.
Yes!
Fart noise. All right, so we just killed Death. Death himself, I guess.
Yeah, well, or the servant of death.
Yeah.
Which is pretty... I mean, how much death is there?
Well, none more. No more, because we killed it. Okay, so. That was... I'm going to roll again, because that feels too anticlimactic to just deal with that quickly.
Ah!
Okay.
But the sister... Is the sister dead? Oh.
Okay, so. He rolled 7. We rolled 6.
Are you serious?
Okay, so he hits us once.
No! I like the first one, where we won.
All right. We rolled 8. Which gives us 19. He rolls 3. Okay, so, best 2 out of 3. He's dead now. Sorry,
okay.
It's the final encounter. I felt like we had to do best 2 out of 3. Anyway, he's dead. You rush over to the altar stone, and it's with an overwhelming sense of relief that you see that Orianna remains unharmed. But as you hold your sister close, you cannot shake the feeling that someone is watching you. You turn to see a spectral figure watching you, a look of unalloyed hatred in its eyes. You recognise the figure at once. It is Unthank, the Necromancer. The howl of frustrated fury, the undead spirit of the Necromancer flies at you. But, as they say, the night is always darkest before the dawn. Even as Unthank's ghost goes for you, the first probing fingers of morning appear over the wine-dark ocean to the east, as a new day dawns. With a soul-shredding scream, Unthank's undead spirit dissolves into vapour as the first rays of sunlight strike his ethereal form, sending him on his way at last to the other side, and the lands of the dead, where he shall be punished for all eternity. The night of the Necromancer is over, and it is the beginning of a new day, a day of endless possibilities, the end. Oh my god.
Wow.
We did it. With only a little bit of cheating.
Well, that was... in the re-record, was there any cheating?
There was a little bit.
Okay.
But not enough for it to be a problem.
I feel much more satisfied, though, you know.
Yeah, that's like...
Wow.
We haven't finished many of these books. Normally we just die horribly before the end of it, so...
Well, I mean, to be fair, we started this book by dying horribly, so...
Yeah, it should have been downhill from there, really.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, the only way... Where do you really go from being dead?
Yeah.
I suppose.
Well, what I love is
2 hours. You just
what
found
I love
out.
Is we went meta with that too, because we not only died in the book and had to recover and fight our way back, but we also did that during this recording.
Yeah,
you know, losing half the recording and having to re-record and suddenly making a decision that we didn't make before. Just
getting the riddle right, because before I couldn't figure out what the answer to it was.
So when you talk to Mr. Green, you're gonna have to tell him, look, you know, your book was life changing for at least 2 days.
No, it was. This has been incredible. Right. There are a few deaths that I'd like to go over quickly because, you know, that's what we do at the end because it's exciting. Mm-hmm. So, you know, earlier when we met the Lich Queen, you wanted to bow down before her?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you talked me out of it.
Well, here's what happened. You kneel before the Queen at the foot of her throne, look up into her midnight black eyes, and then her mask slips, and you see her for what she really is. No beauty of flesh and blood, but a hellish undead wraith. But by then it is too late. You are already under the dominion of the Wraith Queen. You will remain here as a member of her undead court until the end of time. Yeah. Your adventure is over.
So close. Ugh. So close.
Gross. Glad you didn't go for that one, though.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for saving me.
That's alright. No problem. Any other good ones? Oh, okay. I guess when we fight the Shadow King, if we failed the will check, then this would happen. You thought your will was strong, but that of the Shadow King is of an even greater magnitude altogether. You cannot possibly resist an intelligence as incalculably old and as evil as this one. Your mind shatters and you can do nothing to resist, as the Dark Lord forces you to kneel before him and swear fealty to him forevermore. When the Shadow King's undead army marches on the Kingdom of Ruddlestone, you shall lead it in your new role as Death's Champion. And when Ruddlestone has been taken, the rest of the old world shall fall before you and your Vile Master. Your adventure is over.
Aww. I think you should read the ending that we actually hit during the lost recording.
Oh, okay.
The lost chapters.
Yeah. Right, so when we messed up... If you mess up the riddle, this is what happens.
Yeah. The riddle the riddle of how many years...
Must a man walk down?
No, that's Rhodes.
Damn it. Yeah, how many years... How old... what's the average life expectancy of a dude?
Yeah, basically.
We got it wrong. The voice then makes its final utterance. You shall not leave Castle Valsinor, but must remain here forevermore. With that, the light becomes even more intense, and you feel that its fiery touch upon your soul. You cannot help but cry out in pain. And then the light is gone, and so are you. All that is left is the impression of a screaming face, seemingly melted into the stone flag's floor, joining the other screaming faces already there, trapped within the stone. Your soul is now bound to the stones of Valsinor Castle for all eternity. Your adventure is over.
Right. Memories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember when that happened to us?
Yeah, like about an hour ago. An hour and 20 minutes.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Shut up. Anyway, thank you for listening to my brilliant podcast. I think we should do a book review quickly.
Oh, yeah, we should.
Right, so I really enjoyed that. Like, I kind of was poking fun at the prose for being a bit too overly elaborate, but I felt like that really, like, added to it. Like it wouldn't have been the same if it wasn't so much like that.
So, we really did kind of give it hell, especially in the first episode where we read this about it being kind of cliche fantasy, over the top, epic. But it drew me in.
Yeah, and I felt that was really enjoyable all the way through. Even if it was quite cheesy. But you know what? Sometimes can't beat a bit of cheese in your life.
Yeah. I'm looking for cheesy.
Yeah. So what would you give that out of 5?
I think I would actually go 5 out of 5. Now that I know how it feels to make it all the way through the book.
Yeah. I would agree. I really enjoyed that as well. I'm probably going to give that one 5 out of 5. Good job,
intense.
Jonathan Green.
Yeah,
you well wrote done. A good book. I think that's all. I think we should call it here.
I think that sounds good. Can I call dibs on any future Jonathan Green books? Even if I just sit in the corner?
Well, this is a thing, but I'll talk to you about that after the show.
Okay.
thanks for listening, everybody. If you're coming to the Eurogamer Expo thing, don't forget to come up and say hello and slap me in the face if you've watched Ground Force. Yeah, hope you have a pleasant night. I'm going to go get something to eat now because I'm starving.
That sounds good.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. What a perfect turn of events.